You have some struggles going on, but some of the struggles that you're having and some of the disunity that you're having in the church, some of the problems that you're facing is because you're choosing to listen to man instead of listening to God. Is it not true in our day and age? The same thought is happening in our day and age. Some of the difficulties that we're having within the church, some of the difficulties we're having within our lives individually, is because we are listening to man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. Now, he addressed this, and he talked about the message. He talked about the power of the cross. He talked about they think it's simple or foolish. And he goes on, and he addresses this over again in different ways approaching it, because this was a problem they weren't getting a hold of. This is a problem that they continued to struggle with in many areas of their lives. Now, in this portion that we're going to get into this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 5 through verse 8, we see once again we are in this area of words of wisdom. All right, he's going to give some more words of wisdom that's given. And the words of wisdom has to do with this. The world may not understand your faith, but you must believe what God's word says. We all have to understand this morning, and we're going to see this unfold in the verses and explain this in more detail, but we have to see this morning, what we believe might not be what the majority believes. That's okay. What we believe might not be what the common individuals in this world would adhere to or say they trust in. What we believe may look different. And we're going to see this. They even use the word mystery here in this portion of Scripture. It may not appeal to those in this world. But we must choose faith in God's wisdom over faith and man's wisdom. Because it comes down to faith this morning. You're either going to trust something by faith, either God's way or man's way. If you're able to, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. We ended with verse 5 last week, but we're going to read verse 5. We're going to share just a few thoughts to springboard into this next portion here. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time, that we can open your scriptures this morning. Illuminate your words to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As we look at this thought of choosing God's way over man's way, choosing having faith in God's way, look at this verse number 5, and I want us to see this first thought there. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. I want us to understand to have the right faith, we have to look to the right person. To have the right faith, we have to look to the right person. All right, to be able to understand this thought, I want us to keep in mind that many today look to an individual to base upon what they believe. They look to individuals in this world to base their belief system on. What they believe. Now, some of you understand there has been men throughout the ages that many individuals will look up to, not just in spiritual things, but in other things. There is those that people looked up to in the name of Galileo, those of other sources like him and like Aristotle and some of those other names. People look up to those individuals because of their knowledge of something, their wisdom of something, and they base what they believe upon them. Let me give some thoughts here. A lot of what we believe are based upon this world in which we live in, that the world is round, that there are stars and different things in the atmosphere, in the sky, in the heavens. And remember, there's three heavens in Scripture, but the heavens there, and talking about that, it's based upon some of the thoughts and some of the teachings and some of the wisdoms of these individuals that study this and knew, understood it, and gave you information about it. He says, your faith has to be based on the right person. Now, throughout the ages, there's been many individuals that have claimed to know something. How many of you met someone that claimed to know something and found out they didn't know what they were talking about? Okay? There are those in this world that have claimed to know something about the religious things. And I use that lightly, all right? Because we know what I'm talking about. It's not a religion, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is those that have talked about knowing stuff about a religion. And many individuals will heed their faith. They will determine their faith based upon what a man has said, looking to the wrong person. All right? I want us to see this. There is individuals that have been in this world that say, well, you have to be really good person to get your way to heaven. That goes all the way back to the day of what we know as the Pharisees. The Pharisees were those individuals that thought they could be religious enough to earn their way to heaven. They were hypocritical in their ways, but they tried to obey rules. They tried to obey different rituals and different things, and they thought, as long as I do those rituals, as long as I do those things, that is going to be enough for me. That is faith in man's wisdom. We live in a day and age where many individuals in this world have that same concept because of a certain person, a person that is even given a title that is in our world today. Because, how many have heard, because the Pope said so, we must believe it. Okay? You put your faith in what a man says instead of what God says. There's been other individuals that have put themselves and elevated themselves into a place of authority, and they claim to have this understanding of how there's hope for you, there's hope for me, and that you must do this and you must do that. And it's based upon their wisdom, their so-called knowledge, what they've been enlightened to, and they give it to you and say, you must take this hook, line, and sinker, and you must believe this. But our faith has to be based on the right wisdom. Look at verse 5 again. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Don't base what you believe upon man. How many of you heard someone say, this is what I believe. This is what I believe it says. This is what I believe it to be. Even though the scriptures say something totally different than what they believe. Even though you could take the scripture and say, this is what the scripture says. Now, I understand, and this is talking in regards to salvation. I understand there's different ideas sometimes when it comes to some other subjects and other things, and we call those gray areas in scripture, and we can refute those and talk about those. But some things are not gray areas, all right? It's black and white, and it's in regards to salvation here. And what he's saying is, you men say, I know what I believe, even though what God's word says is different. That's based on man's wisdom. But look at the last part of verse 5. But in the power of God. Do you know what you need to base your faith on? Not what man told you. Not even what mama told you, dada told you, grandma, grandpa told you, cousin Mary Lou. Doesn't matter. what you need it based upon is what? The power of God. What he's saying is, you base your faith upon what God has done in your life. You base your faith upon what you've seen God do, and God's working. You remember last week we looked at this, he talked about having the power of God in his preaching, and the preaching that we need is what we looked at last week. And the preaching that we needed was the power of God working in lives. And he says, you base your faith upon God's power. You base your faith upon what God has done. If you're truly saved this morning, you know what the power of God is. You know what God has done. You know that God has taken you from the miry pit and set your feet upon the rock. God has made you a new creature in him. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You know there's been a great change in your life since Jesus came into your heart. You know there's the difference that he makes in your life. It's the power of God. Our faith is not based upon man-made philosophy. Our faith is based upon the power of God and the transforming power that God can do in your life, in my life, in the life of every individual in this world. That's what our faith is based upon. Now, as we continue this thought of the words of wisdom and basing our faith upon God, not only do we see it's based upon the right focus, but look with me in verse number 6. It's not only the right focus, the right person, but it's the right message. The right message. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Speak wisdom here is talking about the right type of message. Godly wisdom, not the world's wisdom. Go over with me to Psalms chapter 1 for a moment. I want us to see the difference between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. The right message. We have to have the right person to have this faith and follow after God. But we have to have that right message. And it's seeking the right wisdom. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit to his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly should perish. Godly wisdom is following God's way of doing things. The right message is not what the world says is good. It's what God's word says is good. It's not understanding that this world today, in our world we live in, they have turned bad into good and good into bad. They said man is getting better. Man is not getting better. Man is getting worse. This world is not getting better. It's getting worse, and it's going to come to an end someday. We understand that truth. We understand the truth that you and I are not good. All right, I'm not a good person. You're not a good person. Rick especially is not a good person. None of us are good. All our righteousness is filthy rags. We are wicked, sinful human beings. And I know we don't like to hear that sometimes. I know we don't want to be told that. We want to told you be the best that you are. You're such good people. You're such wonderful people. You didn't mean to do sin. You didn't mean to do those things. Let me tell you, yes, we did. We chose to sin against God. We chose to do our wicked ways. We chose to do that. We are wretched human beings. That's why there's a great God that loved us, sent his son to die for us, because we are wicked. We are headed to the destination lake of fire. And we need the power of God to change our lives. World wisdom is what this world says. And many in this world today seek worldly wisdom. Ecclesiastes tells us all this wisdom and all that this world has to offer. Solomon, who was the wisest man, had all the knowledge, had everything he needed, yet he still did his own thing. But he got to this place in Ecclesiastes, what did he say? All that I thought was important, all the things I listened to in this world, all that people said was important is vanity. All is vexation of the soul, vexation of the spirit. All that is vanity. It's empty. It's not anything. It's not worth anything. Do you know all this wisdom of this world's not worth anything in your life and my life? Do you know we need to seek the wisdom that comes from God? Verse 6, as you look at this, it says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, among the spiritual mature, those that are growing, they understand and want true wisdom, godly wisdom, the right message. Do you know if you don't want godly wisdom this morning, you're not spiritually mature or spiritually desiring to grow in your life. If you get upset at the messages that you hear from God's word, and God's word tells you this is what you need to change and what you need to do, and this is godly wisdom, and you say, well, that's not what I want to hear. That's not what I want to believe. Then the problem is you're not where you need to be so God can work in your life. None of us are perfect. None of us are at that place that we need to be. Every one of us have room for improvement in our lives. But how be it that God speaks this truth to those that are spiritually growing or spiritually maturing because they can handle it, they can take the truth. You ever wonder why you hear a message sometimes and God works in your heart with it and other people walk out mad about it? Because you're ready to handle it. Let me give a point. How many would feed your six-month-old baby a T-bone steak? You would just give it to them. You give them a fork, you give them a knife, and say, go at it, child. Eat it. Now, we know what that child may do or may not do. Depends how they are. But most of them would take that and even try to start gnawing at it if they can. And what would happen if they got a piece of that in them? They would choke. Now, if you're Brother Rich's age, or maybe I should use someone younger because he's getting that age and it's going to happen again. If you're at Dalton's age, I have to use this, you can handle eating a T-bone or a ribeye. You can be handling eating the steak, right? You can handle eating that. And you cut it, you eat it, you chew it. As you get Brother Richard's age, your teeth start to fall out again and you're not able to chew it. You can handle it. We love you, Rich. You can handle it. But you know, as you're an infant, you can't handle what someone that is spiritually maturing, not mature because it's a maturing process and all of us are maturing, but spiritual maturing can handle what someone that isn't spiritual maturing can't handle. And he says, people get upset about the wisdom that I'm giving you and the message I'm giving you because you're not at the place where you're allowing God to work in your life. If you want to be at that place, we got to get to that place where we're allowing God to work in our lives. We got to not get mad at the messages being taught. Realize that message is there to continue to help us grow. By faith, we need to believe that message. By faith, we need to trust that message because it's God's message for us. It's godly wisdom. But he says this, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. This wisdom that comes, this world's wisdom, is not what you as a mature person ought to take. Do you know there are many believers today that are spiritually immature? Not spiritually maturing. Because they know what God's wisdom is, but they hear what man's wisdom is. And what do they seek to choose for their lives? Man's wisdom over God's wisdom. Why? Because man's wisdom lines up sometimes better to where they're at in their lives. And it gives them approval for to live the way they want to live. Now, how many of you have known someone, because you've never done this, that will seek out 20 people to try to find someone that agreed with the way they thought? You know what I'm saying? They have this thought in their mind, and most people don't agree with it, but they continue to ask till they find finally someone like Brother Rex that agrees with them, because Brother Rex just agrees with everybody, and you find that someone finally agrees with me, and that justifies for me to be able to do what I want to do and be able to do it. No, we're not to seek. The spiritually maturing one should not speak this wisdom that this world offers. Not the wisdom of this world, it says, nor the princes. And that, because the princes are going to come and go. This world's going to come and go. Those things are going to change. Those things are going to be different. But he says, God's wisdom does not change. How many of know that this world's wisdom has changed? How many remember when eggs were good for you? How many remember when eggs were bad for you? How many remember when eggs were good for you? How many remember eggs were bad for you? How many remember when eggs were good for you? It changed up and down, right? And all this. How many remember when you shouldn't eat raw eggs at all? And then it was okay to eat raw eggs. Then it wasn't okay. And it's gone up and down. World's wisdom has changed in that. How many remember when you were told that all carbs are good for you? And that was a big thing at one time. Then it went to certain carbs, and it's changed. And world's wisdom has changed. All right? World's wisdom has changed. But God's wisdom, godly wisdom, does not change. All right? The prince is going to come and go. What they say is going to come and go. What they tell you to do is going to come and go. But what God says is always going to be there. That's godly wisdom. Our faith is not based upon man's wisdom that continues to change. Our faith is based upon God's message that stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's wisdom does not change. The message doesn't change. Do you know salvation's always been salvation? It has not changed. All the way from the beginning of time to the end of time. Salvation's always been by faith plus nothing else. Salvation is not based upon works, never has been, never will be based upon works. It's based upon a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon that time when we put our faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. It's always been that way. It's never been anything else. It's always been in Jesus Christ, faith in Him. That's godly wisdom. Man's wisdom says salvation has changed throughout the ages. No, salvation hasn't changed. Yes, I understand there's different dispensations and there's different ages that people talk about and all, but salvation's always been the same. Look at verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You see, there's the right focus, there's the right message. And as we continue that right message, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What does it say in that mystery? It means something that has been hidden to those who have not had the understanding of. The Bible says before we were saved, we were dead in the trespasses of our sin. What it's telling us is this: the world does not understand what you're believing. It's a hidden message to them because God has not taken the blinders off their eyes and illuminated the scriptures to them, and they see the truth. You ever wonder why this world doesn't understand some simple truths that we think are simple truths to understand by faith? Because why? That has been hidden to them. Do you know why those in this world can read this book? And unless God illuminates it and brings them a place of salvation, they say this book is confusing. They say this book doesn't make sense. They say this book doesn't, I don't understand it, I don't see the truth. It's because the mature ones understand the wisdom of God, those are maturing, but those that are not spiritually maturing, those that are in Christ, His word has not been illuminated to them. It has not opened their eyes to the truth, and they haven't seen it. Think about this. What's a truth you and I believe in that many in this world struggle with? How about that of creation? You see, for a believer, I believe a true believer should not struggle with that of creation. Because the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on and explains what took place on each day. And it called day and night as one day, and it says it was good what God did. There were six literal days that God created the heaven and the earth. This is what the Bible teaches. It's there. As a spiritual maturing believer, I understand God's message. I understand God's wisdom. I may not understand how it all works completely, but by faith, I trust it and I understand it. But those that are not in Christ, they look at this idea of creation and say, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand this. I don't understand how this happened, and this can't be. There has to be something called the gap theory. There has to be another world that was created and collapsed. There has to be this explosion that took place in this world, and we came from monkeys, and we came from these little tadpoles, and we came from this, and we came from that. The world tries to explain this, and the logic. Wait, as a believer, by faith, I'm trusting God's message, and I believe that I was not a monkey before I was a human being. I don't believe I came from an explosion, but I believe I came from God. And I believe that God created man and woman in His image. And I believe that God created this world. And as God spoke, this world came into existence. Why? Because God's word says so. And we must understand, as a believer that's maturing, I understand this truth. This world doesn't understand this truth about creation. Do you know why you can argue with someone that's not a believer about creation? You can give them all the points you want to give them. You can give them all the facts and information. You can give them all the things. And I tell you, last year at the Pastors Northwest Camp, we got a lot of great information. And we're going again, and it's going to be the same guy. He's going to cover some other areas on creation and that. Awesome. Great stuff. But you can give all that information. You can argue with someone. But unless God opens their eyes to it, they're not going to understand it. Because to them, that's foolishness. But to us, it's not foolishness because it's God's word. Another area that many struggle with, and we hit it a little bit, is regards to salvation. For us, it's simple. You call upon the Lord, and you shall be saved. God loved you. God died for you. He shed His blood, rose again the third day. We must realize we're a sinner, repent of our sins, turn to Jesus Christ, put our faith and trust in Him. The world doesn't understand that. The world says, I have to do something to earn my way. Why? Because they have not been illuminated. They're dead in the trespass of sin. Their eyes have not been opened. They have not seen their need of salvation. They think they can do something to earn salvation. Another area. It's regards to forgiveness. As a believer, we must understand forgiveness. A spiritual mature person understands God's wisdom in regards to forgiveness. Now, I'm going to say a few things. Forgiveness is not always forgetting. I know that goes against popular thoughts in that. It means we don't bring it up. It means we don't hold it over the head. But if someone cut off your arm, guess what? You're going to still remember your arm's cut off. But it means you're not bitter towards them. It means that you don't hold it against them. It means that you don't keep bringing it up over and over and over again. It means that you truly love them and forgive them. This idea of the same love and forgiveness that God has shown us. We need to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us, as Christ has loved us, as Christ has forgiven us. We understand that's the forgiveness we need to have. That understands that we can be hurt. That understands that someone could do harm to us. Someone could beat us. Someone could be cruel to us. Someone could abuse us. Someone could do certain things to us in our lives, and we still love them. Now, this world says that doesn't make sense. If that Brian hurt you, if that Brian was mean to you, you get back at him. You find revenge. You don't forgive him. He doesn't deserve your forgiveness. But as a believer, we say, I forgive him because I didn't deserve the forgiveness God showed me, and I show that. See, this is the idea of this, of following God's message, having the faith to follow God's message. The world says, I don't understand it. It's hidden to them. It doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't make sense how you can forgive one another. It doesn't make sense. But in our, as spiritual maturing believers' life, it makes sense to us because we understand God's forgiveness to us, that we show that forgiveness to one another. Another area that this world doesn't understand, that's hidden to them, that doesn't make sense, is regards to this idea of giving. This world doesn't understand why you would give your money or your time to something besides yourself. This world says, it's all about you. It's all about me. What always makes sense, what always, you know, man's wisdom says, you got to take care of yourself. Man's wisdom says, you got to build up your treasures here on this earth. You got to make sure you have enough money in the bank account to take care of yourself for the rest of your life. You got to make sure that you have enough money to put in your casket and be buried with it so it can be disintegrate. But you got to have all this money. You got to have all this there. You got to do all this. God's wisdom says, what you have is mine. And you're a steward of what I've given you. And you need to be a wise steward of what I've given you. And I've given you some money. I've given you some time. But don't use it for yourself. Use it for the glory of God. The world says that doesn't make sense. You know how many more vacations you could take if you never gave a dime to that church? That church is just a money-hungry place anyways. All they want is your money. They don't care anything else about you. That's why they keep passing those offering plates. That's why they keep telling you, you need to give, you need to do this, you need to do that. They just want your money. No. Do you know God can do what he wants to do with or without your money? Do you know why we give? As a spiritually maturing individual, we understand the truth. We give to show our love to God for what he's done for us. And we want our funds that we have to be used to glorify God. Well, you know, you could sleep in on Sunday mornings. Well, some of you do in church anyways. But you could sleep in Sunday mornings. You could have so much more time. You could go to the lake on your boat. You can go do this, you can go do that. Why would you give your time? Why would you go to those services? Why would you go to that church? Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. That's the world's wisdom. But God's wisdom is this: I'm not to forsake the assembling myself together. I'm to be in God's house with God's people when the doors are open so I can be taught and fed and fellowship and edify and build one another up. God's wisdom is this is what we need to do. This world doesn't understand this teaching of heaven or hell. As a spiritual maturing individual, we understand as we're growing, as we're seeing, that God talks about heaven and hell. God talks about hell more than he does heaven, by the way, in Scripture. And as a spiritual maturing individual, it makes sense to us. It makes sense that God did not create hell for us. But we understand that the devil rebelled against God because of pride and all that took place. And then we understand that one third of the angels went with the devil. And we understand all that it was created for them. But we understand because sin in the world and death by sin, we all have sinned. We understand now there's a place called hell, but there's also a place called heaven. And God does not want us to spend eternity in the lake of fire separated from him for all of eternity. God wants to spend eternity in heaven. We understand that. This world's philosophy says, if God is God, and he's such a loving God that you say he is, why would he send people to hell? How many have ever heard that before? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Our sin sends us to hell. God provides the only way of salvation and gives that way of salvation out. His hands are stretched out and says, come unto me. I will save you. Come to me, and I will give you that hope. My hope is not in this world. My hope is in the Lord. But we understand that. But this world does not understand that. The world sees us and sees God and sees religion, sees those things as individuals that go against what they say they believe and trust. But look a little further here. We need to have the right focus. We need to have the right message. But I want you to see a truth that is given here in verse number 8 there, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The right understanding. The right understanding. Not only the right focus, not only the right message, but the right understanding. He says, all right, if they would understand this truth, if they would understand this truth, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, the world saw Jesus. They didn't understand who Jesus was. You see, Jesus came as the Old Testament said he would come. Yet, when Jesus came as the Old Testament said he would come, he came on his own and his own received him not. They saw Jesus. They saw proof that he was Jesus. They saw the birth of Christ. They saw him live on this earth. They saw him not sin. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him do exactly what they said he would do. They saw that he even went and he was crucified. They saw that he was placed in the borrowed tomb. They saw that he arose from the borrowed tomb. Yet they said he must not have been dead on the cross. His disciples must have stole his body. There must be some explanation to this. Even though they were given the truth right before them and were told the truth and they read the truth and they heard the truth, they saw the truth, they never understood the truth. Is that not like many in our world today? You've heard the truth. You've seen the truth. But many don't understand the truth. You see, he said, if they would have understood it, if they would have got a hold of it, they would have not have crucified Christ. But they didn't understand who they were crucifying. They didn't understand what they were doing. They didn't understand this truth that they were crucifying the Messiah. Do you know some of the most religious people on this earth are Orthodox Jews? Now, I've had the privilege of going to Israel 3 times, 4th trip's coming up in 1.5 years. Just a plug again. But as we've been in Israel and talking to some of them, able to talk to some of them, they are very religious people. Do you know some of them know the Old Testament better than most people in this room here? They know and understand every feast, every ceremony. They understand every commandment that is given in the Old Testament. They understand everything that is taught there. And they could tell you exactly what the Messiah should look like. When the Messiah comes in their belief system, they know what to look for, they say. They say they know what they're searching for. They know what they need. But they do not understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and he is and was the promised Messiah. They have all their knowledge. They have all their wisdom. Yet they don't see that Jesus is their Savior. In our day and age, there there are many religious people and groups out there today. You see, they said if they these princes, if these people wouldn't understand what they were doing, understand who Jesus was, they would not have crucified him. But there are many in this world today, they have more knowledge than you and I have today. Do you know there are some people that actually know more Bible than you and I know? They have a head knowledge. They have a lot of head knowledge. They can even quote scripture. They can tell you more scripture than you know. They can even tell you the references that match the scripture. They have this knowledge. They have this they have all this information. They have all this. Yet, they still have never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they don't understand the truth that's right before them. Do you know, believer? Most of us in this room have been in church for some length of time in our lives. Most of us in this room, you have read the scriptures yourself. You've heard the scriptures. You've heard the truth. But we don't have an understanding of it. Well, I say, preacher, how do you know we don't have an understanding of it? We understand it. We understand what the scripture says. The scripture says that we need to love God. We know that, preacher. But I don't believe we have an understanding of that today. Because I believe if we truly understood what we say we believe and what we have faith in the right person. We say we have faith because we believe the right message. But I don't believe we have the right understanding when it comes to understanding the message we have right before us. Because we're told to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. We're to love God with all that we have. And if we would truly understand what that means, it would transform the way you and myself included, live our lives. I believe most of us are not loving God the way we should because we're not living the way we should. We have slipped in our Christianity. We have slipped in our walk. We're not faithful to church as we used to be. We're not faithful in our giving as we used to be. We're not faithful in our service to God as we used to be. We're slipping in our Christianity because we don't understand what it means to love God with all that we have. Oh, we can make excuses, but that's not understanding the truth of the scriptures. That's not understanding what God has taught us and shown us in His Word. We have to understand it. And the reason we don't understand that is the same reason that the world doesn't understand the truth about the Word of God. Because you and I are not spiritual maturing. Because each of us needs to be maturing. Let me give you an idea. How many of you taken a fruit off a tree that's still green? It might not be green in color, but it's still green in the inside, right? That means it's not ready to eat yet. How many like pears? And pears are hard ones to get sometimes. Because they look like they could be okay. Because you don't want them too soft, but you don't want them too hard. And you want to get it. And you take a pear, and you think it's okay, and you go to eat it, and I tell you, almost broke your teeth on it, right? And it's awful. But if you take it, and you let it sit for a couple days, even in your house, what happens? It gets to the place where you can eat it. Now, it's funny, because a pear really quickly matures, and it starts to get even spots and stuff on it really quickly. And so you got to be very careful in that. But it's mature, all right? It's getting in that place. It's maturing. Avocado is another good one, right? Avocado is a superfood. It's one of the best foods out there in this world. But you got to get it right because you don't want it hard and you don't want it brown mush in there when you open it up, all right? You know what I'm talking about. But spiritual maturing means there's progression and there's a hunger. There's a thirst. there's a growing in our lives. And as we're spiritually maturing and growing, we're going to seek the right understanding and want God to illuminate his words to us and his scriptures to us. Do you know the more I mature, that I'm maturing, the more I want and the more I understand? How many of you read the scriptures 20 years ago and then you read the scriptures now and you got something totally different or something that you never saw before? There, you know why? Because you're spiritually maturing and God has opened your eyes and you're seeing the truth God wants us to get. Not that it's new truth, but God is revealing or illuminating his scriptures so you can see what he wants you to get in your life. You see, this world wisdom says you trust what the world says. God's wisdom says you got to have the right person, the right focus. You got to have the right message, and you got to have the right understanding in your lives. Let me ask you this morning, are you trusting God or are you trusting man this morning? Do you have the right focus this morning? Is Jesus the author and finisher of your faith? Are you listening to the right message this morning? God's message, not the world's message. And are you understanding what Scripture's teaching you? I need to be growing. We all need to be growing. None of us are going to be perfect this side of heaven. But there needs to be that progression and that growth in our lives. Heavenly Father,